Yeah, I'm not sure I can remember the exact first time that I saw Glass, but I know it was pretty immediate. You know, it was definitely love at first sight, though. I mean, it was immediate because it had so many things that I have dealt with and, you know, before that in my ceramic work and with painting, dealing with color, and then it had the excitement of, you know, the physical properties of fire influencing the color that ceramics did. And I had just never seen it until I was like 28. You know, I'd gone to undergraduate school at Center College, where I now teach, and there was no glass program there. And I had never seen glass really being blown until I went to graduate school down at LSU in Baton Rouge, and they were just starting a glass program, and then I saw glass blowing for the first time, and it was I knew that's what I was going to do very quickly. There was no question about it.
There's an exhibit of your work at the Janice Mason Art Museum in Cadiz through August 26th that's called Light Lunacy. And I think it's appropriate that they wanted you here during the solar eclipse, because when I see your work, I think colorful, psychedelic, intricate, but honestly otherworldly is as good as a descriptor as any I could come up with. Where do you get the inspiration for these intricate colored designs?
So I was originally drawn into color as an undergraduate studying different painters. I was fascinated with the color field painters, the abstract expressionists that would do whole canvases that were just color without any subject matter. And so I've always just been drawn to the emotive qualities of just straight color. And that went another level when I got into ceramics and was able to, you know, use firing processes to put like these incredible red glazes on porcelain. But with glass, it was a whole nother level of interaction with light, because, you know, now I had transparency, and so I could reflect light, I could transmit light. There's even some glasses that reflect and transmit, and I intermix all those different types of glass in my work. And, you know, trying to explore and, you know, enhance the reaction with light. So it's all about light, you know, coming through and back. So it's kind of a natural tie to the lunar eclipse, you know, because my work is so much about light, really.
There's a gallery at your website, and you break your works up into four categories. I wonder if you could just briefly explain to the listeners, because it's always kind of hard when you're talking about a visual art on the radio, the right, subtle differences, I guess, between teasers, wackos, and screamers. And then we can talk about echoes, which it's a very different animal entirely.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, I probably would never have categorized my work or divided it up into different names. That we did a book at one point, and so I felt it was necessary to organize it. But it is pretty chronological. The teasers were my earliest work, and they are basically influenced by the human body to some degree, some of the elements, and they're basically symmetrical pieces. We developed the teasers are either double lobe, single lobe, triple lobe, or this flatter shape that we make. So it's pretty much just those four shapes that are fairly symmetrical, and we did develop the later teasers with really long necks. And then the next series we did were the wackos, when I decided to try to go asymmetrical and really push, really get away from any kind of reference to traditional glass blowing. And we named them wackos, really, because it's just such a wacky process. It's truly a child of the American glass movement, which was sort of known for developing your own technique. And so they are really blown in a strange way. You know, we're up on top of a stand with it hooked up on both ends, and we're letting gravity pull it down, and we're manipulating it and blowing it in a very asymmetrical way. And they're influenced by more animals like aardvarks, anteaters. I've even had people say they look like elephants at times. And then from that, those actually nosedive and have a tripod entry to the ground. And then we decided to bring them upright again back towards more of a vessel orientation, but keep them asymmetrical. And so those are the screamers, which are more bird-like. they're actually blown partially upside down, which allows me to then develop the really long, curvy necks that we did on a lot of the Screamer pieces.
People really need to go to your website, StephenRothPowell.com, and look at these images, because words really can't even begin to describe the detail in your work. And let's talk about echoes. To me, it almost looks like a psychedelic body of water that's had a pebble dropped into it, and you've got this rippling effect coming up from the top of the surface. How would you describe your echoes?
Well, I think you did a pretty good job there. I've often been accused of being a child of the 60s, which I guess I'm exposing my age, but definitely influenced by, you know, the psychedelic age of the 60s. But again, it's all about color, and in those pieces, those are really the most traditionally made pieces. You know, they're basically these flat bowl shapes, so they're very complicated to make, probably the most difficult pieces to make, but it's all about the refracted light. You know, we're shining a very intense light through the top of the piece, and what you see below it, most people think it's paint, but it's just refracted color being transmitted through the bowl that creates that pattern of color below the piece. If you lift the bowl, it's gone. You know, we make the pedestals specifically for each piece, and they're round, so it catches that refraction of color when we're shining light through it.
Do you have time to work in any other medium other than glass, or are you just completely devoted to working with glass?
I am completely devoted to glass. I cannot get to the ideas that I want to get to, you know, given the amount of time I have in my day or life. So, no, it's a full-time venture, you know, when you're moving around exploring different things. I mean, I may be continuing one series while I'm looking at another series, and, you know, I also reject things that I do, so I'm constantly experimenting. But there's a lot to work out, you know, technically and aesthetically. You know, I'm always trying to think of new ways to work the glass.
Do you ever sell a piece and actually feel a little tug at your heart that you've sold a child?
Many times. You know, they're certainly, I guess you could say, pieces that are really special to me. And I actually, the galleries hate to hear this, but I've really kept what I've always thought were my very best pieces through the years. And the work when I do a museum show, like at the Janice Mason Museum, those are pieces out of my personal collection that I don't plan to sell. I want to keep those. You know, again, it's like you put your finger on it. It's sort of like a child, I guess, that you're losing a child when you make a really special piece.